Grace, to you, and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that I love about Texas and about Texans is that they both have a very can-do attitude and approach to life. I think always probably have. I believe that's part of the reason why, as our nation has gone through some difficult financial and economic times, that Texas has still seemed to fare pretty well. This state is full of people who don't really want to be beholden to anyone, who would rather make it or not make it on their own than to be dependent on and subject to anyone else's rules. Now, I don't know that the saying, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, was originated here in Texas, but it could have, and it probably should have been. Because in my brief 14 plus years of living here, I've observed this as the way that Texans live. All of which might make today's message a little bit more difficult for a Texan to understand, especially a Lutheran Texan. Because our message today is focused upon the biblical truth that we are given the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God through faith, and through faith alone. Thus, when it comes to our salvation, a can-do attitude won't do us any bit of good. And try as we may, we will never, ever, ever be able to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. See, in fact, in matters of faith, a can-do attitude may be about the worst thing that we could ever have. For anyone who thinks that he can do it, meaning can earn his own salvation by the way he lives his life, will in fact never do it, and will also not be able to receive the gifts that God has prepared for him. Such arrogance of a can-do attitude before God can only lead to death. Jesus told this parable. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood off by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers and adulterers and evildoers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I have to the Lord. But the tax collector stood off at a distance, away from everyone. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. We cannot live such righteous lives before God that He will be pleased with us and thus will want to give us eternal life. No matter how hard we try, it will never be enough. No amount of can-do will do. Because our starting point, as we talked about last week, is always as a lost and condemned sinner. And thus we always fall short of the glory of God. Even our most righteous and seemingly great good acts, the best things that we ever do, are tainted with sin and thus appear before the Lord as about as pure and holy as a blood-soaked rag. So then how can we be saved if there's absolutely nothing we can do about it? How can we ever become acceptable to God if even our best is never even close to good enough? Through faith. For through faith in Christ Jesus, by believing and hoping in Him, God credits us with His righteousness. Faith serves as the conduit for God to cover us over with the purity of Jesus. Through faith, God pours out upon us the forgiveness of sins and the victory over death that Jesus won through His suffering and death on the cross and through His resurrection from the grave. Paul notes in Romans 4 that even our father Abraham was justified before God through faith. He believed God. He trusted in Him. And God thus credited Abraham with His own righteousness. Abraham didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. And yet God bestowed His blessings upon him simply because Abraham believed. Over and over again throughout the Scriptures, the condition of our salvation is placed upon believing in God's promises. It's interesting, in the Greek, the word believe is nothing more than the verbal form of the noun faith. And thus, faith is simply belief. Belief in the sense of hope and trust and confidence and conviction and acceptance. My one seminary professor, in order to give us students a visual illustration of what faith is, would always go to the board and draw faith as a hand. You see, faith is that invisible hand of one's heart, that invisible hand of one's mind that clings hold of Jesus and never lets go. Faith, as the book of Hebrews states it, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I think the can-do, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, don't be beholden to anyone part of ourselves, would like there to be an aspect of our faith that involves works, that connects work somehow to salvation. Because then we could claim some part of the process. We could also maintain some level of control. And who of us doesn't like to be in control? But Paul makes it clear in Ephesians 2 that we are saved by God's grace through faith, completely apart from any and all good works, so that no one has any room to boast about what they have done. Salvation is, from start to finish, a product and gift of God's grace. And we receive that gift through faith. Faith that was created in our heart, created in our mind solely through the operation of the Holy Spirit, either through the water and the word of holy baptism or through that word proclaimed to us. And therefore, there is absolutely no room for any boasting. It is completely excluded from the conversation. For the Scriptures make it abundantly clear that we are declared right before God simply through faith. Faith in Him, apart from any and all observance of the law. And that's good news for us. Actually, that's great news for us. For you see, if works were somehow part of the salvation equation, we could never live with any assurance of our being saved. There'd always be reason to doubt or to question if for certain we are saved or not. We'd never know if we'd done enough. No matter how good we live out our lives, there'd always be that question. We'd never be sure if we had actually met up to God's standards. How could we ever be sure if we'd measured up? The reality is we couldn't. And thus we could never live with any comfort in this life. There'd be no comfort in God's word. There'd be no comfort in his world. There would only be questions and there would be concerns. But since our salvation is through faith in Christ, we can thus live each day in complete confidence of our salvation. Each of us can go to our graves knowing that we will be saved. For even our faith is the doing, the working of God in us. It's his gift to us. Hebrews 12 points out that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And thus our forgiveness before God, from start to finish, from the cross to our hearts, is entirely, solely, and completely the work and the gift of God. I pray that this truth would erase from you all fear, all doubt, and any questioning that you might have, and may it thus fill you with the absolute assurance of your salvation today and always, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.